Okay, hello, and welcome to the latest episode of Innovations in Education, eSchool News' podcast on the latest and greatest happenings in K-12 EdTech this week. I'm Kevin Hogan, and I'm glad you found us. As we enter the third year of the pandemic, schools are still burdened with many after effects, from student and teacher trauma and burnout, to lack of staffing, to continued issues with providing appropriate technologies to each and every student. The good news? We have also developed both an acute awareness and several techniques to try and address those issues. There are several pieces of content posted to eSchoolNews.com this week that point to those advances. Let's dig in. First off, Sheila Freed, she's the school health director at Avil eCare and a certified nurse, writes that many students can manage their health and stay in school when virtual nurses are brought on board. She uses students with diabetes as a prominent example of how that works. She writes, as school districts search for a viable solution to this worrying gap in care for young students, they can find an opportunity in telemedicine. Virtual registered nurses offer a convenient and cost-effective way to provide experienced, high-quality care on demand. Telemedicine services allow nurses to supervise unlicensed assistive personnel, UAP. There's our first education acronym of the 2023. When conducting diabetes management tasks, such as insulin administration, and providing support to school officials, and also bringing just a peace of mind to parents at home. This strategy has been proven safe and effective for students and staff. In a study conducted in rural South Dakota between 2010 and 2013, virtual school nurses oversaw the administration of 5,568 doses of insulin. Out of those doses, only one error was recorded due to a carb counting discrepancy. She also goes on to say that parents of the participating students responded positively to the strategy, indicating increased confidence in the school's ability to care for their children during follow-up surveys. As a result, South Dakota updated its rules around school-based diabetes care to integrate telemedicine more deeply into its strategies. You know, having had a few telemedicine episodes but for both me and my family over the last couple of years, it's strange at first, but it really starts to become part of the, you know, your everyday human behavior. And I think it's something that's going to stick as a result of the times that we've gone through. Be sure to go check out the whole piece up on the news feed right now at eSchool News. The title is Virtual School Nurses Can Play a Pivotal Role in Schools. Next, Tracy Clements, she is the K-12 Student Safety Subject Matter Expert at Go Guardian and an adjunct professor at Lindenwood University, writes that as classroom technology continues to evolve, educators and school mental health professionals can use certain strategies to help students navigate their digital world with purpose. The piece is called Five Ways Tech Helps Create Calmer Learning Environments, and it's also up with the top news stories this week. So here are three. She writes, number one, mental health check-ins help to start class. The short time between class periods is often hectic, with many students physically moving to different classrooms or mentally preparing to dive into a new subject. Hallway passing time can also be filled with stressful social interactions or glances at social media. Well-being check-ins at the beginning of class can be a great way to help students regain focus and center their thoughts. Simple online tools that let you survey your class, like Pear Deck, Google Forms, or Kahoot, can be used to support these emotional checks. Asking questions along the lines of, how are you feeling today? Or what color would best describe your mood today and why? And allow students to respond anonymously can be a real game changer in the classroom. Tip number two, mindfulness apps. Helping students practice mindfulness or the ability to be present in the moment and aware of thoughts, feelings, and sensations can greatly benefit mental health far beyond the classroom. In addition to non-tech strategies like paper mood boards, mindfulness dice, or breathing exercises, there are free digital tools and apps like Calm, Headspace, and more that can guide students through mindfulness exercises in both a group or individual setting. Number three, digital guardrails. When students are using their school-issued devices, it can be helpful to set thoughtful guardrails or parameters around which web pages they can or cannot access during class. Certain filtering solutions or classroom management products can help narrow or broaden internet access depending on what is needed for the day's lesson. This helps students focus on the task at hand and reduces information overload or distractions. Again, I think we're at a point now where the idea of putting away our devices or putting down our screens is really kind of a thing of the past. The key is to be using these devices in a proper way and in a helpful way. And in that way, both from an academic standpoint as well as a social emotional health standpoint, we can keep going forward. So it's a great piece. Go up, check out the other tips and tricks. It's up online, eschoolnews.com, up on the homepage. And finally, equity was a priority for school systems prior to 2020. However, the pandemic has focused attention on the continuing need to create more equitable education environments. The interruption of in-person learning environments has impacted everyone, but has particularly challenged those with specific learning needs. Students deserve the resources and support they need to fully engage in learning. And when you design for inclusion, everyone benefits. I had the chance last year to interview Marie Martin. She's an education strategist and CEO of Alexandria's World, and Sam Reich, who's the director of marketing for Microsoft, about some of the progress made when it comes to accessibility. Here's a snippet.